Listen to what Phyllis Lockwood says about her daughter and her experience in the 60s. Reader, page 51.
Phyllis, have any of your children experienced prejudice?
Oh, yes. My daughter was an outstanding student in high school, and in Junior Achievement, which is an organization for high school children that would sell stocks and do marketing. She won the finals for a scholarship that they were working on, and she went to another state sponsor was the electric company. They came in large cars, limousines. All of the children came from all over the United States. She was the only black there. And when I say she's only the only black, she wasn't, don't look at the crayon black. She was the color of yellow, your yellow crayon. But she was considered black. Therefore, she didn't stand out as the black that you are known today, that they show you on television or something like that. But she went to the final. When she got to the final part, there were two of them left: a Jewish boy who was white, and she. She was very outstanding, and everyone clapped for her. And he was not going to win. Everyone in the audience thought that she would win, but they announced that he was the winner, and she had second place, and she got a little trophy. I can remember when she showed it to me how she cried. This is what I earned for all that hard work I did in high school. Well, there happened to have been in the audience a man from Pennsylvania, or the state where she was taking the exam, in the contest there for the scholarship, and he said that he wanted her to know that she won that scholarship. And because she didn't get it, she learned a great lesson. This is the way life is going to be, and she's got to learn that she's going to overcome it. She said, you were a winner, and we'll see to it that you get something for all your effort. So they offered her a scholarship, one of the colleges, a full scholarship, but she could not participate in any activities on the campus or belong to any sororities. So she refused the full scholarship, and she had no money. When she came home, she said that she would never go to a college that was white, that she wanted to go to an all-black college. And she went to a college that is known all over the world, with children that come from all over the world, Howard University in Washington, D.C. She graduated from Washington, D.C. with honors and became an international teacher. And she's taught in Germany. She teaches English as a second language, Germany, Panama, Spain, and Japan.
Your daughter was about to go to college, Phyllis, in the late 1960s here in the United States. That was a time when there was a lot of turmoil and a lot of prejudice against the black population. Did your daughter really feel that there was a great bit of difference between herself and the other students that might have been white?
Oh, yes. She was told by one of the executives that was present at the affair that there's never been a girl that has ever won this scholarship, and above all, not a black one. And that's why it was one of the reasons she did not get the scholarship. And then when she was there, when she went into her room, two to four girls were in a room. The girls did not come in the room with her. They said that they didn't want to stay in the same room, weren't going in the same room with her. But she said, well, I'm going. If you girls aren't tired, you can stay out in the hall. When my daughter arrived in Pennsylvania, where the contest would be, the students came in limousines and cars, private cars. And when she got out of her car, there were busboys to take the suitcases into the hotel. They left her and her suitcases on the sidewalk. They took the rest of the kids' suitcases in. She happened to have been the only black person that was there. And as I mentioned before, you know, when I say black, she was the color of your yellow crayons. Now, when she got to her room, none of the girls wanted to come into the room with her. And she said, I'm pretty tired. If you're not going to come in the room, not going to come in this room, I'll have to go in by myself and knock the door. And that's the way she started her stay there before the contest started. When my daughter came home, she said that she wanted to go to an all-black college where she could be a human being and be treated nicely or better. She went to Howard University in Washington, D.C. There she graduated with honors. And that was during the time she was there, they had the race riots. And I was so upset that something would happen to her. And I called and she says, don't worry about me, Ma. I'm under the bed with a flashlight doing my homework because I have to get my degree.
Phyllis, was there much prejudice among the black race itself?
Oh, yes. We're a multicolor. And we've never gotten to the habit like the Spanish are so proud that they come from white to jet black. But the Negroes or Afro-Americans, the lighter women with a straight hair were much preferred by the black men or men of color, deeper color. And they were called, the lighter women were called yellow, yalla. It was a slang expression. They were yalla women. They didn't dare use the word black. That was very offensive. But today it's very popular to be called black, even if your skin is snow white and you are black. I remember the time when my mother passed as white to get a job in a local department store. We weren't allowed to speak to her in the store because she'd be fired because we were her colored kids. That's what it was called in our day. We were the colored kids. Even her husband couldn't speak to her because he was a black man.
Phyllis, can you explain to me what it might be like to be actually black? I mean, I could go someplace, I suppose, and pretend I was black or somehow change my skin so I look like I was black. But could I ever really understand it?
You can walk in my shoes for a while and tell everyone you are black and experience the black, the things that would happen to you as a black person. But you'll never really know because you can always turn back to white.